Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Today is Tuesday, February 17th. I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning on the Silky Undressed Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Cece Cole. I thank you so much for all of your wonderful emails last week from the guests that we had on the show. We really appreciate your support and you following the show and talking about the awesomeness of the women that we have on the radio. It's just really something magical happens when powerful women come together. We just talk about, you know, more of what they do, because I think that each time we have a guest on, somebody else have a transformation in their life. It's particularly during these tough times that we're all, you know, that we're all going through and that we're all experiencing. It's really great when you can listen to someone else who's truly inspiring to you, someone that can really inspire and motivate you to continue on and to weather the storm. One of the things I also want to bring to your attention is that we are going to release at the end of this month, and I know that we've been asked several times if we're going to do a special release for February, and no, we are not, so we will be releasing at the end of February for March, which is our signature month of this year. So I thank you very much for your anticipation. You want the magazine to roll out earlier, but unfortunately we're not able to do that. So thank you very much for that. Silky Undressed, the magazine in its creation is really designed to give women the opportunity to share the story of their success, of their background, and how they got to become who they are today. We all have great success stories, but it's really, if you really think about it, it really is the background that influenced us, people around us. You know, it could be our family, it could be that person in our life that greatly influenced who we are today. It may have taken us some trial and error to perfect and to find who we are, but I found that through the magazine, women were able to tell their story, thus find their voice. So I really thank you for your continued leader partnership and the women for your leadership and leading those who are aspired to be business owners and executives, entrepreneurs, wherever they are in their life. Thank you very much for inspiring them and sharing your jewels of wisdom with these women so they can be the best that they can be. One of the young ladies that greatly influenced me from the time that I had the magazine was a young Pakistani girl who told me about her story and how difficult it was for her to even dream of having a life outside of the cultural holes that was on her life. And she broke away from that. And one of the most motivating comments we receive, because we get emails all the time, is that she realized how telling her story through the magazine has changed her life forever. And I use this quote all the time, and it will be a signature piece of the magazine. And she wrote me, and she's like, "Cece, what I realize is this, is that our life stories, our dreams have great impact. We are meant to share these stories because they are not our own, and they belong to all of us. And in sharing our stories, we become a powerful collective impetus for the magic of change." And this is a young lady at the age of 18 who decided that she wanted change. She was the first woman ever in her family to get an education. She's the first woman ever in her family to dare to dream, to lead. And she was the first woman ever to leave her country and to come to the United States to pursue that dream and to get an education and become a leader. And I can tell you today, at the age of 19, she owns her own company, transforming lives of young women all around the world. So I thank Angelique for inspiring me and for being inspired by Silky Undressed magazine. And through our inspiration, she is now empowering me to continue my dream, because if she can do it, I know certainly we can all do it. This is one lady, young lady, that had 1 year to exposure freedom and decided that she was going to impact the world. So, Anjali, thank you very much for your strength, and I ask that you continue to go on. And so we always talk about transforming lives through our stories and through our magazine. And what's the meaning of transformation? Transformation, in my mind, is a marked change in an experience or an exchange or in a character for the better. It's a rule that systematically converts one syntactic form for another. And so I thank all of you for being transformed by Silky Andress and learning from the other women that appear in our magazine and on a talk radio show. So thank you very much for your continued support there. Well, this morning we have another fantastic woman that will be joining us. And I had an opportunity to go over Sarah's profile and look at all the wonderful things that she's doing there with her company. And I tell you, I am truly amazed at how we can follow a passion, our dreams, and lean on the resources of others and grow and take that and take that and grow and apply it to today's modern days business practices that we're currently involved in. So the creation and innovation constantly reinvents itself. And Sarah Miller Caldicott, she is the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison, and we all know who he is. Thomas Edison was an American inventor and businessman who developed many devices that greatly influenced all of us today, people all around the world, including the phonograph. How many of us remember that, right? The phonograph, the radio, the little, what do you call it, the record player. And he also invented the practical use of a light bulb. So he also was coined the creator of electricity. He was one of the first inventors to apply the principles of mass production and large teamwork to the process of invention, and is credited with actually creating the first industrial research laboratory. So we owe him a great deal for all that we have today. Each time I turn on a light switch, Thomas Edison. So I thank you, because even today, he's transforming all of our lives just through the switch of turning on the light. So Sarah Caldicott is the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison. She was curious about why Edison phonographs and cylindrical records in her home work so differently from the small plastic record players that spun 45 LPs. Remember those, right? Now they're replaced with what, CDs? Okay. Sarah received her MBA from the Amos Tuck School of Business and began her 20-year career as a marketing executive with brand-driven firms including PepsiCo and Unilever. For 12 years, Sarah spearheaded domestic and international rollouts of mass brands including Cycle, Suave, Salon Selectus, and Degree. Great products. While serving as the international marketing director for Unilever's Helene Curtis subsidiary, Sarah's team pioneered the company's first international relaunch of its flagship Finesse brand across three continents, requiring coordination with some of the top two advertising agencies of my days, which is DDB Needham Worldwide and Dentsu. Great companies. Sarah is also the co-author of a groundbreaking book on Thomas Edison's innovation best practices entitled Innovate Like Edison, The Success System of America's Greatest Inventor. Sarah is so dynamic. She speaks to audiences across the country and leads executive seminars on how to embed Edison's five competencies of innovation into the organization for growth and continued success. Sarah is a dynamic and award-winning speaker whose engaging style combines substantive business with humor, and she has great content that she delivers at those speaking engagements to organizations. And without further ado, I would like to go ahead and bring along with us Sarah Caldicott so you can hear from Sarah some of the wonderful things that she's doing with her company. She is the president and CEO of the Powerful Patterns of Innovations. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get Sarah on the line to hear a little bit more from Sarah and how she is using her skills and her best practices of innovation to transform lives all around the world. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well, Cece. Good morning to you.
great. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning, Sarah. And I know you had a very busy schedule, but I thank you for taking your time out of your schedule to spend some time with us here on the Silky and Dress Talk Radio Show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, let's dig right into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit of what inspired you to start The Powerful Patterns of Innovations, and how did you come up with that name?
Well, I decided to start my company shortly after I wrote my book, Innovate Like Edison. I thought it would be important to bring the message of the book to companies through consulting, through speaking, and training, and so that's why I established my company. So I came up with the name, actually. It was the term power patterns just kept going through my head. And so I started writing it down and looking at it and ran it by a couple of my friends, my business colleagues. And they said, yeah, you know what, I like that. So there are lots of ways to talk about innovation, but patterns is something that was very important for Edison and his success. So I think the notion of patterns and how we weave things together in our lives, ideas and actions, our mindset and our beliefs, these all form different patterns. So that is why I decided to move forward with the Power Patterns of Innovation.
That is awesome. When I first saw the name, I'm thinking, wow, that is so awesome. The Powerful Patterns, I thought of woven, you know, I thought of a,
right.
Like a,
like fabric.
Yeah, like you just, absolutely, how we just weave together all the creativity, all the ingenuity that we have into this really great, magical product,
no,
which is called
right. Yes,
Us. And I thought that was just so powerful when I saw it. I'm like, wow, that is so interesting. I love to see names because I know names are significant. And so that's really important. So that's really great. Awesome, Sarah.
Well, thank you.
Well, Sarah, let's dig right into it. Let's talk a little bit more about how your great-grand-uncle, Thomas Edison, influenced who you are today and how the powerful patterns of innovation transform lives throughout the world.
Well, Edison influenced me from the time I was about 7 when my parents gave me an old Edison phonograph, and you mentioned this in your comments earlier. I had one of those beautiful brass horns with the wooden base in my room and the cylindrical records on one side, and then on the other side I had this metal and plastic rectangular phonograph that played these small round records. And when you're 7, this is pretty fascinating. It's like, wow, why are they so different? And as I grew up, I heard stories about how my great-great-aunt had married Thomas Edison, and they had 3 children together. There were also other inventors in my family. So the whole idea of invention and creating actual products from ideas was so powerful to me. And Edison was certainly one of the most masterful inventors and innovators of our country. So his influence on me was to start looking at the world around me in a different way. How could things change? How could I help them to change? What are some of the forces at work in how we make decisions about changing technologies or changing the way we make decisions? So from a very early time, I decided, that I wanted to go into marketing and product development and try to use some of his philosophies to be successful as a business person. And as I did this and did some research on Edison, I came to learn more about his actual techniques, the actual things that he did to drive his success. So that's where I think you have the power to be broader in reaching out beyond your own life to help others be innovative and to be more successful in their lives too.
Wow, that is really awesome. Transformation is a very strong word for me, and I tell you, that's really great. And, you know, I think about that all the time. I refuse to give up my LPs and my 45. I have them go back so far, and I move, like, around the nation, and my son's over laughing. He's like, Ma, you want to carry that big box again? You're never going to use those. He's like, what are you going to do with them? I'm like, I can't get rid of them. I still have 8-tracks, you know.
Wow.
You can't get rid of it.
I must confess I've let go of my 8-tracks, but I still have all my LPs. So I'm with you on that.
You know, it's like something you know that you can never replace. It's not like, okay, you know, if I lose that CD, I can buy another one. Okay, we're in a stage of CDs now. And some of my great, my from Billie Holiday, like the original stuff, of course you can get it now, reproduce a CD, but it's like, it doesn't sound the same, you know? And I do have a record player.
Oh,
I do have a record player.
You can still buy them, and they actually have some very high quality phonographs, and you can really part with a lot of money in buying a photograph today to spin those discs. But there are a lot of audiophiles out there who really value that era of our nation and our history. And just as you said, some of those old records, you cannot duplicate the sound quality today. So it's fascinating to listen to some of those old recordings.
Oh, certainly there is. So let's talk about some of the best practices for innovation and how can we use them today in our everyday lives. Not only that, how could corporations, some of the executives that will be listening to the show, how can they apply the best practices of innovation within their organization for continued success?
Well, one of the things I learned about Edison was he liked to look at options. I think today, sometimes we feel like we need to come up with an answer very quickly and that we lock down on that answer pretty fast. Edison was comfortable, both himself and his employees, looking at diverse options to solve problems, even including outlying options, things we might not normally think of as even being close to a solution. So, for example, in coming up with the first filament for the light bulb, the answer he found was a strip of bamboo, which is not something that we would normally think of as a very viable solution for a substance that would need to be heated to a very high temperature without burning. And Edison came to the solution by looking at over 150 different choices. And in his process of looking for solutions, what I saw him doing was asking questions in different ways, reframing questions. So, for example, instead of saying, how fast will this substance burn, right, he would say, how is it burning? So is it burning evenly? Is it burning really rapidly and then it slows down? So he was asking different questions. And I think this is where managers today can be saying, okay, have I locked down on the questions that I'm asking? Does that change the range of solutions that I'm willing to look at? So Edison, by being willing to look at outlying options, not that he was going to go and implement all those outlying options, actually transformed the way he thought about solutions. So what I have been able to do in my own practice is look at options in a new way. Instead of saying, okay, what's the lowest cost, most obvious solution to this problem? I will actually start by saying, okay, what are 10 different ways I could ask this question? What are some things that could be in the solution frame? And I'm just going to put them there for right now, and I'm not going to worry about whether it makes sense or not. I'm just going to allow these thoughts to flow through my mind for a period of days and see what emerges. So allowing things to emerge from your own process of asking questions was critical to Edison's success. And I call this developing a solution orientation. So it's kind of like, you know, orbiting an answer, orbiting the challenge. You don't just lock down on one thing right away. So this is a really different approach to problem solving than what I think we often engage today. So that's one thing that I learned about Edison's approach. Another thing that Edison liked to do really draws upon whole brain thinking, and I actually call it kaleidoscopic thinking in the book because it's looking at things from multiple different angles. He liked to draw his ideas out. So instead of just expressing things in words, for example, he would draw them visually. And that helped him deepen his understanding of the challenge he was facing or the possible ways of solving it, kind of like what I was mentioning a minute ago. He also used pictures because visuals activate the right side of the brain. The right side of our brain really looks for patterns, looks for the big picture, and so pictures help us do that. So it was a very powerful technique that he used. He could share his ideas with his teams, using these visuals. He had diverse teams from all over the world, people from who spoke many languages, who had many different levels of education. So the visual use helped him communicate more effectively with the people in his operation. So that was a very interesting technique that I found that really helps to open up new thoughts and new thought patterns. Another way that Edison worked became a cultural norm for his company, which was allowing people time alone, allowing people to work in solitude periodically. You know, today we have meetings, we have conference calls, we're running off here and there for sales visits, and it's good to have these things, but you don't want them to always consume your entire day. And Edison realized that he was being more productive, that he was generating more ideas and more robust ideas when he would spend some time by himself. So at a minimum, he would spend at least an hour. Now, I know today that sounds like a lot of time, but what I did to try to bring this practice into my own world was to sort of start with, you know, 15 minutes and say, okay, I'm going to take the next 15 minutes and I'm going to think about these challenges, all these options that I've been considering and what progress I may have made on these. Or I'll sit and do some writing, or I'll read for 15 minutes. And I've been able to expand that out now where I do spend about an hour every day in solitude, and I see what I call a force multiplier. So for that hour that I put in, I would say I get about 3 hours of productivity on the other side, if you know what I mean.
Oh, wow.
So that's
really
what a force multiplier is. So if I'm able to, you know, be quiet, to work with, you know, my notebook where I've been taking notes on ideas and insights, then I can really call it justify the time, because I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to have 3 hours worth of answers and solutions and good things to bring to my clients and my teams by spending this hour. So that is really a very unusual practice, but an excellent pattern in Edison's world, and a pattern that we can kind of bring forward today as well with positive results. So those are a couple of the things that came out of my research. Those are a few thoughts that maybe some of the listeners can think about for their own world.
Well, I tell you, I love the term kaleidoscopic thinking, because I think that when I think about that, I look at the thing I had when I was younger, the kaleidoscope, and you look inside and have all these wonderful colors and imagery and those, I think they were like reflective lights inside, how they're all going around in different colors. And I was always fascinated. I was always looking inside when I was younger. I'm like, God, why is it doing that? And where is it going to end up? And, you know, you hold it up to the sky and you think that it's all going to stop. And no matter which way you hold it, it gets the form grows better and prettier, you know, and it never stops. And so when you think about kaleidoscopic thinking, that's really interesting, because I think that's how we all are today. We have multiple things going through our minds at the same time. And how do we organize our thoughts? You know, how do we organize our thoughts and apply that thinking to better us, or to help us be a little bit more innovative and inventive in terms of our thinking and to apply it. So that's really interesting. Wow, kaleidoscopic thinking. And I can only think about the kaleidoscope and how beautiful all those imageries were trying to come together, and they never did, because they always kept swarming around. That's how our mind is. Everything is moving around. Has so much on our plate at one time. And that's really interesting. That's hot, Sarah. I like that.
Great.
Yeah, right. That's hot, right? come from my mentees. You can tell my mentees are between the ages of 17 and 19.
Right. Well,
okay.
He did have a kaleidoscope mind. He even described it that way. He said that he had a kaleidoscope mind, so he was able to think about things in different ways. And so that was part of what drove his success. So I think it's powerful to think about that today.
Yeah, that is so, I tell you, I will be using that. I will definitely give you credit for it. I'll be using that quite frequently. I really love that. That's really awesome.
Great.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about confident communications for today. You know, I was just thinking when I was listening to you speak, and I was thinking about the climate of our economy and how it changed a little bit.
Yes.
And I live in a very affluent area. And I always felt a little comfortable and a little safe. I knew that things were going on, but I didn't see that change in my immediate environment where I live, work, and play. And the other day I had a meeting and I also had a doctor's appointment, so I was early and I had 20 minutes to spare. And so I was taking a piece of jewelry to this young lady who have a fabulous business across from where I live. And she does great beading. She has great jewelry. And I was going to take a necklace to her, one of my favorites that I inadvertently popped. It got caught up on my fur coat, so I was going to take it there to have her restring it for me. And I was so confused because when I went to walk into her door, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I went to the wrong door. And I moved down a couple of knots, and it was a for lease sign, and I moved over a couple of doors. There was another for lease sign, and then I'm thinking, okay, wow, she's not here. Then I got a little nervous. I'm like, wait a minute, when did this happen?
Wow,
you know, she was here last week. And then I said, okay, well, let me just go get some ice cream. They were gone.
Oh my goodness. I'm thinking,
that's what I said. Oh, my goodness, like they were here all last week. And so it has changed a little. And I went to the next door, and it's like, what happened to the lady across the way from you that did the beating? And the lady, her communication had changed. She was always, this woman I'm talking about, she owns a really great boutique there. Whenever you walk into her store, she's full of energy. She has great things to tell you. She's confident about her business. She communicated very well to her potential customers. That day, her communication was a lot differently.
Wow.
She communicated a lot differently. Her communication was not that one of confidence, but that of uncertainty.
Right.
So how do we continue on with the confident communications for success in this economic times that we're facing right now so that we don't belly up?
Well, that's an excellent question. And certainly Thomas Edison went through several recessions over the course of his 62-year career. If you can imagine that he was working and inventing all that time. He died at the age of 84 and began his career when he was 22. So we can look to a lot of examples in Edison's world to offer us some help here. One is that Edison taught himself to be optimistic. Here is a young man who became deaf in his left ear at the age of 15, was the youngest of seven children, and his parents could not afford to send him to public school. You actually had to pay for public school by the day at that time.
Really?
He went to public school for about 3 months, and then after that his mother homeschooled him. She was a retired school teacher. There wasn't a lot of money in their family, and so he often went without some of the nicer kind, you know, home environment, if you will, furnishings and toys and all the rest of it. But this is what drove his inventing energies. This is what drove him to be an entrepreneur. And he learned to sell newspapers, to buy the things he wanted for his little chemistry labs and things he'd set up in his basement. So the hard times, if you will, actually drove him to be more creative and more entrepreneurial. And he had the opportunity to really feel sorry for himself if he wanted to. But he decided, you know what, that he was going to remain optimistic. And so this is something that I remind myself of when I hear these kinds of stories that you've just related. And, you know, we all have these circumstances arise in our own lives where things are difficult, you know, the money isn't coming in perhaps as you might wish. But what I then do is just what Edison did, which is to shift to an optimistic frame of mind and focus on the good things that have happened. One example that comes to mind in Edison's world is that one night 13 of his factories burned down on the West Orange Laboratory campus. You talked about him being the father of the world's first industrial research laboratory. That was at West Orange, New Jersey. And it is believed that an arsonist set fire to 13 of these factories. Mm. And it was at Christmas time when he was, you know, gearing up for the busiest time of the year to deliver phonographs and the movies and all sorts of things. And he lost $7 million in that one night. And so he refused to be upset and thrown off course by this. And when his family came to be with him and sort of watch this fire and see the damage, he was drawing the pictures of the new buildings he was going to build and the new equipment that he was going to purchase to put in these buildings, the most modern available. He was back up and running, CC, in 30 days. He contracted out the work to competitors. So here's a man who would not let even that kind of problem stop him. So what one thing we can do is remind ourselves of the good things that are in our lives. Another thing we can do is to start telling our story in positive terms. You talked earlier about this young Pakistani woman who, you know, transformed her life by getting an education and is now in this country and in all of those, you know, very brave and courageous things that she did. Her story, when she tells that story, is one of courage and dedication and passion. So when we tell our stories, and just as Edison told his story to investors and his teams, it was a story of confidence and positivity because that's magnetic. People want to be part of a team like that. They want to be engaged with a leader who has that kind of optimism and dynamism. It doesn't mean that you're not going to say, wow, you know what? I saw 3 for lease signs yesterday on the street where I was walking. But you know what? There was another business who said, you know, that she is staying the course and she's doing some things differently now to you know, advance her business. So the way we language things, the way we tell our story, we need to focus on the positive and not, you know, continue to tell that negative story over and over. This is where the media, I think, can be very damaging to our sense of self because the stories are almost always negative. So tune out some of those stories and start to focus on how could I tell my story more positively. Edison was constantly having to talk with investors about, well, Mr. Edison, what is your progress on the light bulb? What is your progress on building this new movie projector? What is your progress on, you know, whatever it was he was working on? And sometimes he was behind. Sometimes he was even 2 weeks behind where he had promised to be. But he found a way to talk about his story positively, and he was always able to keep his investors in his corner, you know, moving forward with him, because he ultimately would deliver. So we can think about our own lives and the potholes that we run into in these very difficult challenges. But I think part of what Edison shows us how to do is to look further out, to look more out to the future, and to be optimistic about our own skills, our own talents, the people around us that we can draw together in teams and create results for ourselves.
Wow, that's powerful. And you're right, the confidence. When you are confident, you actually create things. You make things happen because if you believe in who you are and what you're saying, you can speak those things that are into existence. So that's really important.
Right.
That's really important. Now, let's talk about effective, driven leadership as well as innovation in these tough times. I know you just touched on it a little bit, but let's apply the innovation piece to the tough times that we're facing right now.
Well, as I mentioned, you know, Edison realized that when things were difficult, he had to apply more creativity. And so I think what's important now is to look at your own network and gravitate yourself and connect yourself to those people in your network who have a couple of qualities. Number one, people who have an energy level, an up energy level, people who are willing to make changes and to think differently. A second thing you can do is to find those people who are looking for solutions, not necessarily people who just want to talk about the problems. And there's a real difference. The energy level of the person who is just focusing on the problems is much lower than the person who is saying, okay, right, these challenges exist. Let's find a way. Let's put our thoughts together on how we could create a new pathway out of this. So Edison, in the book, I talk about his mastermind teams, mastermind collaboration. And you may have heard this term mastermind before. It was actually coined by a man who lived during Edison's time. His name is Napoleon Hill. He was about 20 years younger than Edison, but actually worked for Edison and interviewed him on a number of occasions. He wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich, which is still in print today, and talks about how we can bring groups of, say, up to 8 people together to, who have a like intention to fulfill a goal of some kind. It could be any goal, and they can come from lots of different areas of expertise. So this notion of the mastermind is what Edison employed in his company, and it's the same kind of technique that we can use to help us get new ideas for our businesses. Sometimes, we need new input. We need new resources. So if you can look into your own network and say, okay, let me find a handful of people who are solution-oriented versus problem-oriented, people who are interested and motivated, who have an up energy that I could, have coffee with, let's just say, once a week, or have a phone conversation with, this is a very valuable resource for all of us right now. So these could be people within your organization, they could be people outside of your company, but a lot of times it's important to think differently by connecting with new people. So that's one thing that I would suggest in these challenging economic times is to, kind of get out of your own box, if you will, and find some of these other folks. You can do social networking, there's other ways of, lots of ways of finding these people. But that's one thing to consider. Another thing to think about is to keep reading. Read about innovation. Read about successful entrepreneurs. Read about other times of economic challenge in our country or other countries. Like Japan went through almost a decade in the 90s of very difficult economic times, and there are a lot of articles that have been written about what happened in Japan. This is something you can also do, is read about what are some of the steps that were taken to shift the playing field, to change the game. And you can draw these lessons, if you will, into your own life. So those are two things that come to mind, and certainly Edison would also be using his kaleidoscopic thinking to come up with new ideas, new perspectives. He kept a notebook. This is something I would urge your listeners to consider. When I was writing my book, I started putting into practice Edison's own innovation competencies in my life, and this was the one I was most hesitant to do. I said, oh my gosh, it can't be that amazing to keep a notebook. I mean, really. And I must confess that keeping a notebook and working in solitude were the two things that transformed my day more than any other things. So kaleidoscopic thinking is aided by writing your ideas down, by actually going through the act of writing in a journal. And some people like to do this online, and that's fine. Do it on your computer so it's searchable. I actually like writing in longhand because it slows me down. It makes me pause. It makes me think. It makes me construct the sentence kind of the way I want it to be, and I can change it and modify it. I can also draw pictures. So writing in a notebook helps you capture the ideas that you have. And in these challenging times, those thoughts that might come out of your mastermind group, write them in your notebook. I go back and review my notebook, I would say every 2 or 3 weeks, and I use highlighters and I use post-it notes to kind of flag some of the things that are, that pop out at me. And sometimes different things pop out when I look back. Don't underestimate the power of your own imagination. Use your imagination and your insights and write them down because these are powerful levers. So those are a couple thoughts, Cece, that I hope could be of help to some of your listeners.
Well, you know what? That is so awesome because what you've just explained, the diversity of innovation, oh my God, that is so awesome, Sarah, and kaleidoscopic thinking and how everything that you just said pretty much what you have done for me, and I thank you very much because I'm listening to you speak and I'm making these notations and I'm thinking, you know what, that is so incredible how like-minded individuals can come together. You just helped me translate in my mind what I was doing over the past year.
Really.
And it's not that I don't know what I'm doing. It's just that you helped me realize exactly what it was. You know, you sometimes we go about doing things because it's innate to us.
Right.
And we do them naturally because that's who we are. But then, listen to you speak, I realized what I was actually doing, getting ready for this day, today, and this time, and applying my innovative thinking towards my next endeavor. And it was really amazing. I moved this time last year, and this is why I'm bringing this up. And I remember I did a few conferences for some organizations back in 2006. And at that time, my niece that I raised was also moving to go live with her father. That year, I received four gifts. One of the gifts, I didn't even open it. I gave one of the gifts away to someone else.
Wow.
The other three I kept for myself, never opened them. They're packaged beautifully. When I moved this year, I'm unpacking, and I opened the three gifts. The one was from my niece at the time. She was 15. And it was this beautiful journal. Inside it, she says, Auntie Cece, this is for the book I know that you're going to write to help me with my life and all that you've done for me. I'm thinking, wow, I never opened this. This is coming from my young niece who gave me so much trouble when she was growing up.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I opened this other box, and it was really nice. It had all these lipsticks on it and ladies with pens. And so I opened the box, and here it is. It's a three-tiered journal.
Okay.
And in the note, isn't that incredible? In the note, the lady says, Cece, you're destined to write a book about greatness, about mentorship. Please use my journal as the background, as the platform which you will launch this business. And I'm thinking, that is so incredible. And so I opened a little one, and it's the book from my friend who works at American Express. And it's called Open. Open the book. And she's like, Cece, you will write a book, you will go around the world, and you will speak. And it's a journal.
How fabulous.
Isn't it awesome? And from last year to today, I have been journaling in each of the books. One of them I use, of course, for church, so that's another platform. But I have been writing down a lot of things. And you are so right. Long can is so much better because it does give you the opportunity to stop, to think, and reflect on your thoughts that you're putting on paper.
Right. And it also activates the right brain. Remember, I was talking before about how when you draw a picture and you see visuals, the right brain is activated. This also happens when we use our hands in some way. So the act of writing activates the right brain. And so this is a wonderful practice because, again, I think mostly in the world we use our logic, we use data, we use facts and information, and we categorize, right? We squeeze out some of the fuzzy lines. We want to make the nice, smooth, even, straight lines. So the right brain helps us kind of get back to that world of fantasy, imagination, things that are possible in the future, and we need that. Edison drove so much of his creativity through imagination. And this may be something else to bear in mind as you're writing in your journal and as others may begin to take up this practice, is Edison created a relationship with the future. He was constantly thinking about the future in very powerful ways, in using his imagination, the kaleidoscopic thinking. So he would project out, well, okay, I've invented the light bulb. What will be true about the world of electricity in 30 years? And he began thinking about that. So it helped him to structure the whole system of electrical power, the lines, the conduit, the cables, the insulation, the dynamos, the generators, the panels for flipping the switches. I mean, all of that, because he projected out in his mind, well, what will be happening? What could be needed? And he didn't know the answer, but he began creating that reality. So today, I think, you know, we worry about today. We worry about this week. We worry about this month. And so Edison would say, you know what? Worry is not preparation. Worry is not preparation for the future. Imagination
so great. That is so great.
Well,
Sarah, wow, Sarah, that, you know what, that is a great way to really sum that up. You know, creating a relationship with the future and use your imagination for greatness and to apply innovative thinking to everything that we do in our lives so that we can all be transformed by the powerful patterns of innovation. Well, Sarah, I really thank you so very much for joining us today and sharing these kaleidoscopic thinking practices with us. And I'm going to develop the kaleidoscopic best practices.
There you go.
I really, really love that, man. You have really helped me out with a lot of things, man. I'm telling you, sometimes I'm like, God, my mind is going a mile a minute, so I know it's okay. It's kaleidoscopic.
That's
well,
great.
Sarah, once again, thank you so very much for joining us today. We're going to be sending you some additional information to stay in tradition with the magazine so we can expand a little bit more on what we're doing, okay, with powerful patterns of innovation. Well, Sarah, thank you so very much once again, Sarah.
Thank you, Cece, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Sarah.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I tell you, Sarah is really great, and we had such a wonderful time with her today. She gave me so much food for thought, and as well as talking about Napoleon Hill, I gave all my mentees this year the challenge of going to the library to get this book to read it, and they were all complaining because it was a long waiting list and they couldn't get the book out of 5 libraries. So she brought up another great topic, which we will be expanding on over the next course over the next couple of months. And so I like to thank you all so very much for tuning in today, to listening to our show. It's been really great. And we thank Sarah for showing us the best practices, or sharing with us the best practices of innovation and using the life success of her great grand uncle, Thomas Edison, as a great influencer in her life to get her to where she is as she goes around the world and transform lives. So once again, we thank you. This has been I'm your host, Cece Cole, and this was a Silk Andress Talk Radio Show. And until next time, you all take care and have a very successful, effective, innovative, I would say confident, driven life. Take care. Talk to you soon. And please go to the website, sign up to receive the magazine, and stay in touch with us and continue to send your comments, your suggestions, and terms of the things that you would like to see in the magazine, because that's how we continue to grow. Thank you so very much, and you all have a wonderful, successful day.